This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hi everyone, welcome back to TVI. Carl Donnelly here.
Julian Dean.
Should we change our voices? We've been doing it long enough.
Hello, mate.
Welcome back to TVI. I actually sounded a bit like, and this isn't a criticism, he's an old schoolmate. I mean, he's been on, but Francis Foster when I did that.
Oh, yeah. Reminds me of Roland Rat. Not looking, Francis, not looking. Smelling, not really.
Anyway, shout out to Francis, who spent 5 years at school with, probably longer actually. Welcome back to TVI. This week we're joined by comedian, podcaster, and organ donor, Jarlath Regan.
That's a CV, isn't it?
It's a CV. We talk about all three of those things. We talk about his podcast and with some people he's chatted to, and we actually talk about him donating a kidney to his brother 4 years ago. It's an amazing story. It's a good episode. He's a lovely man to chat to. Yes.
Videos on Patreon.
As are extra catch-ups. Regular patrons know. If you sign up now, you've got, I'm trying to think how many extra catch up episodes they'll have to work back through. Must be 30.
Two at least. Not really.
30, I reckon.
There's way more than 30.
You reckon?
I reckon there's about 50.
And it might be actually. At one point we were doing 3
a week. Count them.
Yeah, do. Because I mean that was too much. But there's a nice little one went up the other day.
We've been doing it for a year now, I think, haven't we?
Okay, now, yeah, there is probably is. Yeah, that's anyway. So if you sign up,
and we're doing a get together Easter Monday, 11 a.m. British Standard Time,
11 a.m. maybe 12 p.m. I can't work out how the clocks are changing. The clocks are changing in the UK this weekend, and then they're changing in Australia next weekend, or vice versa. And
we're going back, are we?
And I think we're going forward. I can't work it out. So we'll know in the next few days. We'll work it out because I can get my head around it. But at the minute, I've tried to wrap my brains around it and can't work out the time.
You need a quantum physicist to go through it.
So it'll be basically Easter Monday, 11 or 12, lunchtime-ish, you know, late or brunch time. We're going to have a little get-together with our patrons where we sit around and just chat for an hour. It's really fun. It's always nice. Very nice. There's no pressure to chat. There's no pressure to have your camera on if you're nervous. But if you want to just join in, then feel free.
Just have a good old chat, mate.
Yeah. So anyway, that's it. See
you there.
Kick back and enjoy us chatting to Jarlath Regan.
You actually
changed the podcast. I think you died of AIDS in an alleyway. I'm all right, bro.
Yes, we are recording. Welcome back to TVI. Carl Donnelly here.
Julian Dean here. Hi.
And guest, the first guest ever in 106 episodes, I think, to be eating a rich tea biscuit at the start of the podcast. Like, I don't think I've...
Set a precedent. It's unprecedented.
This is the most unprecedented thing that's happened in the last year. It's because I've not seen anyone go for a rich tea in, I genuinely reckon, a decade.
Mm. I would go along with that. And I wouldn't have had a rich tea in a decade.
Oh, is it a new thing? If you just exhausted your lockdown biscuit supply.
Yeah,
I'm on
Lent.
Dry.
I'm doing Lent this year. Oh, I'm not a
and like Jesus
Catholic.
Did. You're just eating rich tea biscuits. Yeah.
I just thought it was a great 40 days and 40 nights without junk.
Right.
And I allowed myself rich tea because that's how crap of a biscuit they are.
It is. I mean, it's so
under the radar.
It's the most Catholic biscuit I think you can. If you had to pick a Catholic biscuit, a rich tea sums it up. Weirdly though, whenever I've had them in adulthood,
you want another one, don't you? Straight away,
they're actually really Moorish.
Very Moorish, yeah.
But I think,
Like every Catholic, it's very easy to dirty them up. You can get a Nutella.
Oh, the classic.
Stick that on there.
Nutella sandwich. That was a real. Is that an Irish thing? Because I'm sure I grew up doing. In my household, there was but a bit of Nutella between two rich teas and call it a dessert. Irish pudding.
Claiming stuff. But Irish people are always claiming that British people are claiming our actors and any successes. But we do claim things like that. Yeah, rich tea sandwiches. That's us. We that.
You're not practicing Catholic or anything.
No. And I just really thought it's that time of year, right? It just lands just in time for you to be like, oh, I really need a break from everything. Yeah. And I was like 40 days, 40 nights without any junk in my system.
No junk food at all. No drink, no nothing.
Yeah, nothing. No real refined sugar or chocolate. And
is that the deal with Lent then? What's the deal? It's not, it's not Ramadan, is it? Ramadan, they don't eat anything. They eat water.
So I think it was fully, when I was growing up, it was fully to give up one thing. And the thing was to pick the thing that would be a real killer for you.
Yeah.
Whatever it was that you knew you couldn't do without. To do that was always what the teachers were pushing you to do.
Just pretend I really like something that I don't like.
We all did that once.
I can't have any more
peanuts.
Any more fruit and veg. No
can't
way
have any more soaring
no way I'm
bread.
Living on Monster Munch and M&M's.
Weirdly,
Jesus, okay,
long before my vegan days, I reckon it was probably about 2001, 2002, I gave up meat for Lent, and it was so easy. I remember just thinking, oh, fuck, it's really easy, which was sort of, but then it didn't make me go the full hog for another decade. But I remember it was a real moment of going like, it's, you know, that if it's not a struggle, then it proves you don't really need it.
Yeah.
But how far are we into it now?
Well, 2 weeks to go, less than that. Easter Sunday is the 4th. But also, and this is the big thing that's happened in my life since I've been talking to you guys, is about August, I was like, well, I'm never exercising now. I've realized I'm not, other than the basics, I'm just not exercising at all.
You're
jogging a lot still, are you? No.
Well, this was the thing. I was like, I can't go hot yoga, which would have been my thing. And I would have done other bits and bobs. But I was like, I'd love to get out running. It seems to be the only thing. But everyone my age and our kind of physical ability, let's say, knows that if I run, I'll be injured tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just how it works. You're agreeing.
Ill tomorrow.
To be sick or to need to. It's like agreeing to pay a physio. That's just what's going to happen next. So I rang this Irish Olympian who's been on my show, Sonia O'Sullivan.
I mean, I saw that she was on your podcast. That's such a cool guest to have. I have such vivid memories of watching her in the Olympics.
100%, man.
It was so weird.
World champ, to see an Irish woman
like dominating a distance sport,
kicking arse and taking names, and like fully dominating. Like,
yeah,
absolutely.
And I know it's not a racist like sort of concept, but like, you know, distance sports historically in the modern era are dominated by very specific African countries.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, 100%. It's just the nature of it. I read a book that talks about one of the studies where they tried to work out why one specific area of Kenya has got such a high amount of athletes. But she, in an era like that, suddenly you've got this tall, pasty Irish woman.
Pasty Irish woman.
Fucking running away from them.
Absolutely. And she was also spectacular. Like, running can be so boring to watch.
Oh, God,
yeah. It was spectacular because she had this kick around the last bend. Like, you just knew she was loaded up. It was like a boxer with the punch ready to go.
Her body.
Literally. She'd just take off. And she, anyway, became a friend. She lives in Australia now, Carl. She actually is Melbourne-based.
Is she?
Yeah. And... I rang her and I was like, if I could, I run.
Did you say I should race her?
Yeah, give her a shout. Let's do it now.
Meet you on the road and just hang the phone.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, so I gave her a ring and I said, look, do you think I could run? And she was like, 100%. And I said, yeah, well, you would say that, but I'm asking you the question. If I go running, can you prevent me from getting injured? She's like, 1,000%, 1,000%. Everyone does it wrong. I'll tell you how to do it right. And since August, I went from not being able to run around the corner to running like 10K most days.
What are some of the tips?
Yeah, well, I mean, really give us the abridged version.
Yeah, let's go.
We don't want to...
Short version. On grass. Can I guess first? On grass? So, is that one?
No.
Use your hip.
Although, yeah, she did say you want to change surfaces a bit. But mainly, it's getting that male ego out of your head.
Right? Impossible for me.
So
there must be another way.
I'm out.
I just put a phone down and ring someone else.
Totally. Yeah.
I've just been chatting about fucking Sonia O'Sullivan. She don't know what she's talking about, mate.
Yeah, she asked me to stop being me.
Hang the phone up.
Yeah. She basically said, stop telling yourself I'm going to run this far and I'm going to show everybody. She was just like, just start with the smallest amount that makes you, that you feel happy with. She was like, it's just so simple. So she's like, tonight. Yeah. She said, first night, walk it. She said, walk it. And then if you can get to the point where you go, I'm going to run a few steps here.
Yeah.
Run that and then go back to walking. So she literally took me from like zero. It's so funny on the Strava app that everybody uses.
Yeah, I signed
up
for that one.
There's a graph of your fitness over time, and mine since August. It makes me wonder what I was doing prior to August. Apparently, my fitness since August has gone up 5,000%.
No, holy shit!
Absolutely bananas. I can't believe it.
It is that. I mean, that's my problem with running. I go through periods where I run semi-regularly, but I just always fuck myself up because the first time I run a decent 5K, the next time I do it, I'm like, right, I'm going to fucking shave 5 minutes off that. And I just try and get carried away. And I end up just in so much agony, or I twinge something, or I turn my ankle. Yeah. And it's just pointless. It's 100% rate of doing that in my life.
Yeah, and that's your body going, too much, Carl. You need to. She's just like, the general rule of thumb is no more than 10% increase in mileage each week. So right. you literally
take some discipline. It's such a sensible way to go about it. And there was a bit some better longevity with it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, here's the thing. And like, look, our heads are all fucked up from how we were coached as kids, most of us, right? Because you didn't go and do things, play things, or take part in physical activity to feel good.
Yeah,
you
took
part to fucking win.
Destroy everyone.
Kill him. Yeah. It wasn't about... No coach ever said to you at the end, now, do you feel good about yourselves, lads?
No one ever asked that question. Your endorphin levels in your brain.
I was a
fat teen. So my issue is I don't have any sort of sporting prowess from my teens to compare against. So I'm always going like, well, now let's see what I can do. Now I'm not a fat teenager. Like I used to get, I once got busted. We'd had cross country running and I got busted getting a bus. That's how bad I was. I thought, I'm just going to fuck it. I'll just sneak off, get a bus down to the other end. It's just me and a couple of mates just got busted by the sort of stewards, teachers. They just saw us get off like the 200 bus or something. I can't remember what it was. Yeah, but that was how lazy I was as a teenager. I had no interest at all in any exercise.
It's so funny, isn't it? Because like, there's so many things that you look back on that you had no interest in then, that you like, you can't even associate yourself with that person in so many ways.
No,
just going, Oh, why was I into that? Like Tina said to me the other day, my wife Tina said, somebody put up this video on TikTok of a woman shuddering over and over again. And it was her remembering the number of times that she'd watched boys play video games.
Where
she's like in a flat watching lads play video games. And I definitely subjected Tina to a bit of that. PGA golf. She's watching me play PGA golf for hours with other boys. And I was like, what was I doing? Like she pointed this out. She was like, what was I doing? What do you look back on from your youth, Julian, where you go, what the fuck was that all about?
Everything.
I would say probably the series of crimes that were committed between the age of 12 and 18.
I think it's rare teenager that enjoy like that does it for the fitness, isn't it? Do you think?
Also, I would say in terms of like never trust anyone who looks back on their youth fondly. Not what I mean by that is, I think we've talked about it on here before, but like you know, people that sort of peaked at school. That was when they were the king of the school. They were the fittest person. They were the most popular person. Then people become the most depressed people in their 40s because life doesn't live up to their first 18 years. So they had the best time of their lives.
Big fish in a small pond and then suddenly they're
100%.
And suddenly they're just a middle manager in a shit job and they can't live with it. And they constantly hark back to being a 17-year-old when they were the king. And like I'd much rather have been, I was relatively popular. I was sort of, I had loads of mates at school, but I was still the chubby one. I wasn't popular with girls. I didn't blossom until my, probably I'd say like into my 20s.
That's so important though, to be having a laugh in school, isn't it?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wish I was more academic. You know,
I really wish I studied like since I've helping my kids homeschool and that I actually really enjoy it. Like I enjoy maths GCSE and learning all the different subjects in school. That is that wasn't even on the list of my priorities.
Yeah, but that's also because you're doing it now as a thing to help your kids. And then
definitely
forced to do it. That's what my issue with school was always that I hated being told what to do. So I'll just be
exactly.
I'm going to do the bare minimum.
But I always felt like, what's the point? I was just always like, what's the point? Like, you're just going to give me more homework.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. What's the point in school? In the sense of like...
What's the point in life? No, I'm fully... Yeah. I was like, I just couldn't stop feeling like it was a hamster wheel.
Yeah.
It never... You know the way you do view your life now as some sort of straight line? With, you know, things that you're trying to get to.
Yeah.
The school is just like,
It's, yeah,
and
it's
just, now we do it again.
Oh, it's monotonous. You're like, the same off. Thing every day, five
every
days a week.
Day. Fuck you. It made me so mad. I was like, use your fucking imagination to make this more interesting for us. They're like, Ned, yes. You need to fucking work harder. Like, make me work harder.
Yeah.
Teachers were so bad, though. Like, if you get a good teacher, it changes the game, doesn't it?
Clearly. But, yeah.
Like, yeah. I had some awful teachers, man.
Well, look, there's so many awful comics. There's awful doctors. There's awful
Don't
police.
Don't bring me into it, man.
He's right here, man. Jesus.
It is mad, isn't it? That there's just so many people that shouldn't be teaching.
I know.
Your kids.
And as you get older, your mates become like are teachers, and they're all doing coke at the weekend. And you're like, oh, this is what teachers were doing. They're telling me off.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking angel.
I know. Hang on a sec, just quickly. If you're Julian, your mic sounds quite muffled all of a sudden. It's gone quiet. Is that? Can you hear that, Charlie? Or is that just
hello?
Yeah, now it sounds good. What did you do?
Maybe the lead came out a tad.
Were you fiddling with it?
A little tad, yeah, but not now.
You went into teacher mode there, Carl. Yeah. Were you fiddling with it?
Julian's
let's be honest.
Julian's got OCD and he does fiddle with stuff, and I can tell when he's done something that is caused.
He's put some gloves on or something.
Did you guys watch that Nate Bergazzi special on Netflix that just came out?
I've had three people in the last week recommend it to me.
I've not seen his great. New one. I've seen great. Some of his old stuff.
But also I'm just really happy to see a special that was filmed in these times.
How was it filmed? What's the
open air in Las Vegas?
Okay, because I saw. Have you watched Brian Regan's, which was filmed open air? I
haven't seen that.
Oh, it's great!
Fucking great!
I love Brian Regan.
Yeah,
I'd never watched him before, and I watched.
Oh, good!
It's so funny.
So good.
He did the Leicester Square Theatre a couple of years ago.
Did he?
Yeah.
I did it in quarantine.
My name is Brian Regan. Just as a side note, that's my actual name.
That's your actual name.
It's Jonathan middle name. Birth cert.
Jonathan middle name. My parents decided 2 weeks in. He's not a Brian. This guy's a Jarlath.
I was going to say, I thought you might have done that thing where you picked your middle name when you got into comedy because of Brian.
It was my parents, and it made life very difficult having a passport that said Brian on it instead.
Brian, yeah.
But, it's
you don't like meet many Brians now.
Yeah, it's a comedy name. You put Brian into a script.
Yeah, it is. It's a. In quarantine, we did this thing where, you need things to fill your day. We had we had certain things at breakfast time and that, and then we had this afternoon thing about 3 p.m. every day. We'd watch a stand-up special, because I've got this old thing that I never watch stand-up specials on Netflix or anything. Like, I've never really enjoyed them because I love watching it live. Yeah. But it turns out I think that's probably from about 5-6 years ago. And actually, I've probably grown since then. And I now can just kick back and watch it and put my feet up. So we watched loads. And Brian Regan I'd never seen before. I watched a few others. But do you know the best one I saw, who I've never watched any of her stand-up? I only know her from Curb Your Enthusiasm. Wanda Sykes.
Okay. Oh.
Wanda Sykes' last special is the funniest hours show I've seen in about fucking 3 years or something. It's brilliant.
She's a killer.
Absolute stone cold killer. Like, she smashes that
Wanted
show.
In all 50 states. Yeah.
Oh, man.
100%. Like, she's like the kind of killer that Jerry Seinfeld describes, like Joan Rivers being.
Yeah.
She could kill on a cruise ship. Yeah. She could kill in a casino. You take her to a corporate.
And it's got everything. It's silly. It's dumb. Good. It's like topical.
The physicality of it.
Oh, man. Yeah, and she's just got funny bones. Yeah. I couldn't believe I'd never seen her before. Obviously, I know of her. I know she's a legend, but I just never watched it. And like, I was watching this special just crying, man.
So I'm surprised that you wouldn't have watched, because I would have thought that you would be hoping to film one yourself. So to me, I always regarded it as like study.
I've always just like in the past, basically, I'll tell you what it was. I got burnt a few times, not by the stand-up shows being bad, but just by my own lack of enjoyment of it.
Ah, yeah.
But you know, like what happened was about
you were heckling them.
about 7 or 8 years ago, you know, I remember like everyone was like, you've got to watch a Louis C.K. special or something like that. And I'd watch it and I'd be like, this guy is clearly very good at what he's doing. But I just wasn't enjoying it as much as people were saying. And it happened with every of the big names. Weirdly, the only one I remember, and I remember because I listened to it first as an album, was Norm Macdonald's album from about 8 or 9 years ago.
Yeah,
I listened to that as an album and was crying. But, you know, when I went to watch it, it wasn't as, I didn't enjoy it as much. Yeah. I feel like if I'm listening, I can lie. I watched we watched one of John Mulaney's in quarantine and it was very good. But I just think that I think I basically watched a couple that didn't live up to what other people said because I was sitting there.
Yeah.
They talked about it like, and I can imagine how good it was in the room, but I'm sitting on my sofa watching it, going like on my own, just going, all right, this is all right, isn't it? So I just thought, it's not for me watching specials. I'll wait till they're in the country or something. Yeah. And then it's changed now. I can watch them and maybe it was just something
I had to do. You know that I just put out a special. You guys are bringing this up because you know I just put out a special, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that wasn't the case, but let's go with that line of questioning. I do actually know you've put one out. Didn't you put one out? Didn't it go out first to your patrons of your podcast?
That's right.
I mean, I did, yes.
You guys
did.
Know better than anyone. The patrons get everything first. They have to. Especially now that they...
Thank you.
Our boss.
Yeah, because our patrons tend to get the unedited video of... Because often, when I say often, every few episodes, we tend to snip a bit out maybe.
Not even. We've only done it a handful of times, I suppose, haven't we? Yeah.
But actually, the last episode was the only one I think we had to snip something from both the audio and the patron video.
I would recommend snipping because then the people that listen are like, oh, fuck, I wonder what I missed.
Yeah, you're right.
We do drop names.
That FOMO.
If we name a comic on here, we don't name them, but then normally, on Patreon.
I often bleep names, and then the patrons get the name when we sort of, not badmouth somebody, but when we tell a story that might not be the most flattering of a comedian.
It's the juicy stuff, though. Look, people that are your patrons are the quality people. Like, this is the reality of it.
This is true.
People that are patrons for my show, I was desperate to make a stand-up special because I knew they'd paid for it.
They
made it. Like, this was theirs. They paid everybody who did that show. The cameraman, the support act.
So
they got it like 6 months early and were able to watch it as many times as they like and download it and keep it.
That's great.
And... It honestly boosted numbers and people were like, oh, this is great because I wouldn't ever get you never come to Australia anymore.
That
was it was special. And now it's obviously available everywhere to stream from the most Irish streaming service ever, the RTE player.
Is it on RTE? Okay, cool.
Yeah. So if you have the RTE player, you can watch it anywhere in the world now for free. That's the deal.
Right.
One thing I was going to say I used our patrons, but actually, you know, this is what I like about the whole Patreon thing, is it does create this little two-way street where, because I'm doing I start my show at the Melbourne Comedy Festival tomorrow, so this will be going out after that's already happened.
Amazing.
But I've collated loads of material during lockdown that I've done on Zoom gigs. I did bits in London when things opened up in the summer. You know, so I've got enough material for a show, but I didn't have any idea what order to do it or anything. So I did a preview on Zoom for patrons while in quarantine, and it was great. You know, it was like they were lovely, and they know comedy. They're a comedy literate audience, and so they got to watch a preview of a show that they wouldn't be able to see because I'm in Australia, and I got to basically workshop a whole show on a bunch of people that I trust their judgment. And it was like, this could never have happened before. This is like the future, isn't it?
I remember doing an economics festival. It was an economics comedy festival in Kilkenny. So it's on in all the venues that the Cat Laughs takes place in. It's called Kilkenomics. And this is like 10 years ago. And a guy was on talking about the phenomenon of the local celebrity. And I was like, what's he fucking talking about? And he was going, it's possible for creatives now to ignore the big label and be their own label and become a local celebrity and become vastly more wealthy and appreciated through that model. And I was quizzing, my job was to quiz him on this. It was an interview panel. And everyone was like, kind of going, oh, what's he talking about? And I was just going, like, how is that even? Like, you'll have your friends like your stuff. And he was like, no. And he kept pushing this line that, like, everybody who likes your stuff pays you £5 once a month. And you are able to buy a house. It's like, never going to happen, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
And here we are. Here we are living in our mansions, boys.
Yeah. You're living in your Julian's in his bedsit. I'm at my in-laws study in Melbourne. That was the old Stuart Lee thing, isn't it? Stuart Lee used to talk about the 10,000 fans thing, which
there is a book written on it. If you get 1,000 devoted fans, you could sell like out Wembley or something because they bring people.
Yeah.
Something like that. There's some rule to it, yeah.
We're living in it.
Have you fiddled with your wire again, Julian? It's gone a bit.
No.
All right, it went a bit. I thought it went a bit like.
I haven't. So.
Yeah, not to blow smoke, not to blow smoke up too many patrons' arses, but like, if you are a patron, you're listening, you're watching this now, consider looking at some other people as well. Like, if you can throw a fiver in,
don't tell him, mate. Don't tell him to support other
people.
There's
no one else.
There's no one else. Don't leave us.
There's no one else.
You don't leave. I actually think a lot of people who are patrons of podcasts and things like that tend to have a couple. I think they tend to be like, right, I like these. I like this person. Like, so they sort of, and I think it's really nice. It is a lovely sort of, it's that thing. It's hard to ever see it from the other side, isn't it? Because we're, you know, it's, but even comedians, I often do gigs or shows at festivals, and I basically come off stage, and a part of me is like, you could have a great gig, everyone's loved it, you've loved being on stage, and I still, part of me thinks, why did they come and see me? Like, you just always have that little sort of sense of, because it's hard to ever put yourself in the mind of the other person going, I'm gonna go watch that comedian I like.
Yeah. I had that on stage, man. I know exactly what you're talking about. And I actually had it at, is that the Canal Theatre Cafe?
Oh, yeah. Canal Cafe, I remember that place. Yeah.
Do you remember that room?
Yeah.
They used to do Edinburgh previews, and I remember doing a preview and was going well. And then kind of, have either of you ever had this moment where you're on stage going, what is this? Like, you know, when you're occasionally, when somebody goes, oh, well, let's just kick in a ball into a net, that's all football is, like, what is it? Fully had that moment up there going, I'm here talking into a mic and you're there listening. And I was like,
it makes no sense.
It doesn't make it. I completely.
I always have that problem with it. I don't really understand. Like, when I'm on stage, I'm all right, though. I don't get it on stage.
No, it's always. But generally,
like, what is the job? What is the definition of it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it isn't just to make them laugh. Like, it's more. It's something. I don't know. What is it?
I am. Last week.
I suppose
last,
that is it, isn't it? Just to make them laugh.
You're not me. You shouldn't ever really be able to define. You know, I like the magic of it in that it shouldn't make sense that one person walks on stage, starts talking, and at the end of certain sentences, everyone goes, ha! It sounds mental, right? But I was chatting last week, last Wednesday night, I did a thing called the Oxfam Gala, which is in Melbourne. It's basically, there's two galas before the festival, and they go out on television, and they're big shows in a big theatre, and it's quite a prestigious thing. And I've done it before, so like, I know what to expect. But it's one of them gigs where you can feel totally fine in the run-up to it, confident. I've got my set together. I've workshopped it at a couple of gigs. You know, you've got to do 4 minutes as a TV sort of spot. But it's happened every time I've done it or any gig that is recorded, filmed, important, where I have a great day of being relaxed and like, I'm ready for it, man. I'm going to fucking smash this. And then I have makeup done and all that. 2 minutes before going on stage, I go into a full existential crisis when I go. Like, it's almost like I stop and go, who do you think you are to come out there and think you can do this? And I was chatting to a 100%. Few other comics.
I know, yeah.
And I was chatting to a few people, like Zoe Coombs' mom, me and her. She's a brilliant comic. We had a really funny chat later on in the evening about it, where she said she has exactly the same thing. And it's, that's when I have my moment of going, what am I doing here? Why would I possibly choose this as a life?
Yeah, like it is imposter syndrome on another level.
Oh, it's like biblical levels. I literally have a two-minute meltdown.
It's good to do that in a way, though, because you kind of then you find an answer and get a bit of clarity as well.
Yeah, if you meditate or whatever.
And then you go out there and do the job,
Yeah.
I guess. But they're normal. It's normal. It's a lot of pressure, isn't it? I had it before I did that gig at Wembley Arena a couple of years ago. Like, I was in the dressing room and I couldn't get a handle on it. and I just did a couple of big gigs before it, like the week before, like I did the Hammersmith and stuff. But I just couldn't, like the bass line to the music was just vibrating through the tunnel, like little old dressing rooms, like Kylie Minogue's poster. And I just couldn't, like the bass line was so, you know what I mean? And then I had to go out to no compare. And I put this like audio meditation in where it really centers you. And I just was like, I was a bit dreamy. I was so present.
It was like weird
and a bit weird. It was just, I wasn't thinking and I don't know, it was bizarre. I really had a crisis about half an hour before stage time.
But you can see why like footballers and that and boxers have bad days.
Yeah.
100%.
It can just be.
Tyson used to do it before he went into the ring, didn't he? He used to picture them as big, massive monsters going to kill him. And then once he got into the ring, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you build it up. So when you're on it, it's like, oh, it's just this.
Yeah. I suppose that's also why some people have routine.
Fun, isn't it?
But some people have like pace around, like, you know, like there's some comics, people like Russell Kane's a good example of somebody who's got so much nervous energy before he goes on. You watch him pacing around the dressing room and knocking back his coffee and all that. He's got a routine to deal with his.
Lee Evans is like that as well, isn't he?
Yeah, there's people that have to do certain things to get over that moment. Because there's some comics. You know, the comics who just don't give a fuck. You know, there's loads of them old war horses.
They're doing a crossword and they're like, hang on a sec. They're going to do a gig, come back, finish in the crossword.
Yeah, I wonder though, is that the way to do it? I don't know. I wonder if that's it. Like that, yeah, you can have your nights like that, but really the sweet spot is treating it much more like, this is what I'm doing.
I know, but you've got to have a bit of the excitement and the nerves. Of course. Otherwise, of course. I think that suggests there's something missing.
Did you watch the
Britney
Spears documentary?
I did, yeah.
Like, to me, like, that's just a horror show of a situation. But I watched it, and I've said this for years, is that, like, if fame doesn't fuck you up, if it doesn't make you go mad,
then you were mad to begin with.
Definitely.
Like, such
if you don't find this shit weird.
Yeah.
You think this is the proper order? This is the way it should be. Everyone should be waiting on me hand and foot and like nodding every time and laughing at all my jokes, regardless of whether they're funny. You're fucking weird.
Right. Yeah. It'll drive you mad.
Yeah.
Did you have a similar thing with that documentary than I had? Not to the same degree, but with the Amy Winehouse documentary where I was never a fan of Amy Winehouse's music when she was alive, sadly, because of all the tabloid shit.
Album with like Rehab and that.
Because of all the tabloid stuff, I saw that before I heard her music. So I made this leap in my head that, oh, she's just some pop star. The tabloids are like following around. And obviously I think, you know, now in hindsight, I've listened to her stuff and I've watched that documentary. Actually, I've realised she was, you know, she was cool and her music was like, yeah, she was creative and all that. Britney Spears, similar thing, because like, I just always saw her as this pop star and the tabloids chasing around. I just never had any understanding of them as a person. And then you watch the documentary and you sort of realise that they were so young when they started in the industry. They grew up in it and obviously it's going to fuck people up.
Yeah.
And like, it just totally changes your opinion of that, that's just some pop star.
Yeah, who we saw was the meat after it had gone through the meat grinder.
Yeah.
Vegan podcast.
The
tofu. I went through the tofu grinder.
Yeah. Oh, God. Like, the Amy Winehouse documentary is like, if you haven't watched this and you're listening to this, like, make a point to watch that tonight.
Oh man! Just, but I'm prepare definitely going to watch it. Yeah, prepare yourself though, because I mean, it done
it's on
me
Netflix,
in.
Is it?
Yeah,
I think it is. Yeah, like it properly done me in for. You know, I walked home from the cinema in pieces. Like, I walked home like anyone would have
McCaffrey
seen me.
McCaffrey said the same thing.
The people would have thought I'd have just gone through some sort of bereavement the way I was walking home from that cinema. Like, it was, and people were crying on the way out, like to stop to cry outside a cinema, just breaking down. I've never seen
so
anything
avoidable.
Like it.
So avoidable. That's
I haven't seen
thing.
Anything like that since after Julian's Wembley gig.
It's just me.
But yeah, it's pretty hard going. I am. Anyway, so what is your special, the one you've put out? Is it the one about your brother, or is it a different show?
It's a different show. That was the previous show.
I mean, that show that you did is such a big topic to talk about. But
so
you know,
donated a kidney to my brother.
You gave a kidney to your brother. Yeah. Which is
a birthday present, or did he need it?
Yeah, he really needed it. He did really need
it. Was
not
it
just
a
one of those
threatening packaging?
He wants everything you have. So like, give me that.
A threatening package.
You owed him 10 grand.
Yeah. That is obviously.
So he had a kidney problem, and you gave him a kidney, didn't you? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in a nutshell, yeah. I mean, there's obviously a lot more to it than that, but. Yeah, that was the scenario. And next week is Organ Donor Awareness Week in Ireland, and I've been doing interviews to create an episode specifically about this, because everyone's story is different. The woman that I spoke to yesterday is like a courts reporter in Ireland who's very well known, and her nephew needed one, and she was very much like me, that she was like, well, like, obviously, I'll do that.
Yeah.
I'm a perfect, like, for
was
a
there
lot
any
of people,
kind of doubt in like your that. Mind? Did you have to think it through, or was it just like, I'm gonna?
So I tell you, I went to my GP and he said, don't do it.
Well, I mean, that would probably put some doubt in your mind.
Maybe he like, wanted it.
I was like, why? And he was like, because it tears families apart. And I was like, we fuck off, mate. Like, really? You know what else tears families apart? One member of the family dying?
Yeah, exactly.
What are you talking about? Like, he was just a very strange person. And you meet people who, when you've agreed to do it, who are, there's usually two camps. One is, that's amazing, you're amazing, that's so cool, good luck with that. And then there's the group of people like, oh, Jesus, that's risky, you know, I'm too sure about that. And like,
and I'd
the
say
second group
based
of people
a lot on how they feel about
that.
Their own family, probably.
Yeah. And how little
thought,
they know.
I thought it would
about
bring a lot of, it's a very positive, amazing thing to do, I think. Like, show him
I'm amazing.
How much you care as well.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, I keep saying to people that, like, it was a no-brainer. I was like, absolutely, I'm in great health. I knew I could do it. I knew that it would work and that I was the best candidate. But like, there's the other side to it, is that like, I really felt like I got a lot from it too. Like, I
10
felt,
grand
10 grand yeah.
You get to bang his wife.
He owes you the biggest favor ever, mate. When you call that shit in, it's gonna be like, you're gonna literally have just like, it'll be a hit and run. You're like, mate, I need help.
Hey, can I have your Netflix password?
It's massive. It's also totally, you know, the fact is, I presume you know obviously all the, I don't know anything about the thing of, but if they can do it and you can live absolutely fine with one, then it's stopping you.
Yeah, like, organ donors tend to live longer than people that don't donate, just on average, because they tend to take
a psychological thing. I was about to say, is it a psychological thing?
Nicer people though, and generally a bit more body conscious and healthy.
Afterwards, you're definitely a bit more like, this is
a lot of variables.
Very lucky. Yeah, you feel very, very lucky that like you were able to do it, and like, it's a hard one to even talk about, because you're like, it's four years ago now. And we definitely, like, if people saw that show, it was called Organ Freeman. And
it's a great name.
Still one of my favorite names. And it did talk about, you know, there's more to my story than I'd obviously have time to go into now, because of kind of different medical situations throughout my family. And it's never just as simple as, yeah, well, that makes sense. It just isn't, because there is a chance you can die in there. A small chance you can die in the surgery. Yeah. But I don't know about you two, but one of the big deal breakers for me and one of the best parts of it was that I often walk around prior to it trying to convince the world that I'm a good person and like worrying about, oh, people will think I'm a prick if I do that. I don't worry about that at all anymore.
Oh, you've got, you mean you've got so much, almost like so much karma in the bank that it's like, yeah, 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 just set, man.
I have a certificate. I have a scar.
Yeah, yeah,
go,
yeah.
Carry around with you.
If anyone holds me a selfish brick, I'll see like, your driving license, you'll find.
Please. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But you know, there is that like this funny side to it that like you do, like you've done something for someone else that is nothing to for you. Like
yeah,
there's nothing.
So how come we don't need both kidneys then?
I think we can adapt.
Deal with that.
Really God.
So it's a very, very good question. The second kidney will, you know, in the same way as if you didn't have one arm, this arm would get stronger.
I suppose you don't need two arms.
Yeah. So the kidney.
You don't need any limbs.
Take them both out.
You don't
take
need anything, kidneys. Do you? Like, just this. Except for like a heart, anything.
And a brain. Have.
Just the brain.
You're fine.
Yeah. Yeah, look, that's good. The deal anyway. Yeah.
I mean, so the other one, does overcompensate. Okay,
doubles
cool.
in size, apparently.
So yeah. We are using both kidneys, like if you've got two, like, or you're just using one and one is waiting to... Work.
No, you're usually be using two.
But like it's distributing
the,
it.
To measure like the function wheel. Of the two. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's one of them 50 mile an hour wheels. It's moody
spare
as
battery.
Shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Moody little thin kidney.
Yeah, yeah.
Can only walk 50 metres with.
I fucking hate them wheels, man. Just put a proper spare wheel in the back of the car, man. What, honestly, when they brought it in, it was what that was one of the
saving
biggest...
Saving 2 inches in your boot.
It's the shame
piss take. Absolute piss take, mate. Real wheel, why make
man.
It yellow as well? Just you have to drive around with it. Just everyone looking at our gutted, mate.
I've got a puncture. I've got a.
Yeah.
What about the they don't take out. They don't take out his shit kidneys. So he's got three.
Really?
Yeah, and I've got one.
So how do they? What? How do they add? What? They just add a kidney to the bit of the area.
Yeah, look, the technical...
How come they didn't take it out? Because there's no need. And
complicates
it's
things,
more,
yeah.
It's more risky than if they leave them in.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Apparently, yeah.
And so, they just hope the new one has a word with them. Goes, come on, lads. Sort this shit out.
He and how is he now? In his body accepted it properly and...
Yeah.
Welcome to the family.
Well, you've got to take a whole load... Well, it doesn't necessarily welcome it to the family. Like, plenty of people will have it rejected. That's a big problem.
Yeah.
So you have to take all these immunosuppressants because your body thinks, oh, there's a foreign thing in here. I've got to try and kill it. So you take a load of immunosuppressants. So you know, he'll take them for a lot of his life, all of his life. And but look, the prognosis wasn't good for him. They reckoned he was very close to going on dialysis. And the fact that we prevented him going on dialysis, which is a miserable way to live.
Yes, bad.
Part of me thinks maybe we should let him go on dialysis for a little bit, just so that he could see.
So he's grateful now.
Just to hammer it home, you know. He's doing great. He's doing great. And
fit and healthy and stuff.
Top of the list for the vaccine.
Yes.
So he's all vaccinated up to his teeth. And so am I. I was up there in group six as well. I got my little...
Because of the kidney.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, really? Fucking hell.
Yeah.
What's
similarly, if your kidney fails on you now as a donor, you go to the top of the list.
Oh,
if you've only got one, you've already donated one, you go to the top of the waiting list to get one. Sweet as.
So if you had one or both, what? How many vaccines have you had?
One. Just the one first so dose. Far, and the next one's due in May or June.
When's your next one due, Julian?
I don't know. I left the card in my car, but I must check. Well, I've got asthma, but I still didn't think. I mean, it's not like
use
really
the card
bad.
To make roaches.
Yeah. I sold it to some bloke in the street.
Roll it up and sniff a line. But I think it's 12 weeks after, so I don't. It must have been about six weeks ago.
I think it's about 6 weeks ago. Yeah. What's the latest? I've done that classic thing of the moment I left the country, 6 weeks ago, I've just not looked at a single bit of home news.
They've done over 25 million vaccines. I mean, they've done that well, haven't they? The vaccine rollout. But
I do think they have. Do you think that they... I know they deserve some credit for that. But the fact that I think that is to make up for the mismanagement of the last year, I think it does have to be tempered with.
But they still fucked it.
You know, I mean, being here really hits home how much we fucked it in the UK, like in terms of
shutting down early.
Everything here is so normal. Like the only thing you're meant to wear a mask in the supermarkets, mask on trains. That's it, right? That's the only thing that would make you even notice there was anything going on. Yeah. And they're just, this Friday, you don't have to wear them in supermarkets anymore. That's being dropped because they don't need it. So, like, it's just this, it's weird. So, I didn't realise how different it would be here, really. I knew things were sort of open a bit, but I thought there'd be much more mask distancing, funny business. And it's not. They're literally back to normal, essentially.
Man. But, like, there's a whole thing, and Julian, I don't know if you go along with this, but... this whole thing of AstraZeneca causes clots just seemed so weird to me. Just seemed so...
Well, loads of things cause clots worse, don't they? Like the women, the pill that women have, like the pregnancy.
In terms of percentage,
what I mean is there's a big row going on between the EU and AstraZeneca.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I will spread a rumor about your product.
You have no proof of that.
Otherwise.
The numbers are so small. It's that classic thing of like, you know, I think I understand people are sort of going to be cynical or going to sort of question the narrative. That's what people do nowadays because we've got too much time on our hands and we've got YouTube, so we watch bollocks, right? But you know, the amount, if they've done 25 million people and fucking what, 17 or something have had a blood clot like that, the chances that that is coincidence is so high. Like, it's beyond the chance that it's coincidence. It's like, you know what I mean? It's them numbers. That's not saying 17 people having a problem isn't bad, but you do have to look at the actual number it's set against to get some sort of context.
I also am really conscious of the Irish situation here. Like,
well, yeah, what's going on in Ireland? I've seen the odd little thing that it's just not, well, it's not, the thing, they're not doing it too well currently.
Yeah, well, here's an example of a thing that will get announced in Ireland. 10,000 more vaccines arrived in Ireland today. What? Like
10,000.
10,000. Oh, sorry, I thought I misheard you there. Yeah,
I'll do 10, like 000, one postcode, like, in sort of not even a major city.
That's a crowd at Wembley, man.
Doing 10,000 a week in the town hall next to me.
Yeah, like, yeah.
You're going, how is that? And like, that's basically the story across Europe. And then, you know, Boris, like the Augustus Gloop of vaccines, like he's just like drinking all of the vaccines from the lake, ruining it for everyone else.
He's
like, I'm not sharing. And that, that seems to be the core of this. Like,
is that what it is? Yeah.
That, like, yeah, fucking, like, well, here's the thing as well, right? Northern Ireland has no border. So you're going to vaccinate everybody in Northern Ireland.
Yeah, it just literally
will. You have to take a two island strategy there. You just have to. That, and he's like, no. You're like, well, how's about you just give us 7 million vaccines? You know, we'll call it reparations for the famine.
Come on.
Leave it
we'll
at
call
that.
It quits then for the rest. Yeah. We won't moan about any of the other shit. Just leave us be.
If he did that, he would never have to buy a pint in Ireland ever again. And if somebody would just say that to him, just get to Mars and be like, look, man, think about it. Any pub, you'd be a fucking hero in Ireland. And that's all he's obsessed with legacy, isn't he?
Well, yeah, like, totally. He's obsessed with people liking Churchill. Him. He hates.
Yes.
And, you know, I'd say not even forget Churchill. His obsession with being liked is what's made him make so many mistakes in the last year, and him delaying giving bad news. The Christmas thing, where he acted like it was going to be fine, up to the day before he had to say, no, Christmas is cancelled, was because he didn't want to be the guy, the bad guy. So if somebody said to him, look, mate, you know, Irish, they don't like the English, but they could like you if you fix this. You. The whole country would go, sure, he's a lovely fellow, that Boris. You know,
100%.
So
100%. So Irish people would say, no, the English have been very fucking tough on us over the years now. Very fucking hard. Now, Boris, different. He's different.
here's a stupid question. Do you vote? Or have you got your, like, in for Boris? Is that where his voters are?
No, are you fucking kidding me? Are you honestly asking me, is Ireland part of Britain?
That was just a joke. But like,
it's just going to be one of them bits that get snipped out the old audio.
No, but that's why he doesn't. It's not in his priority, isn't it?
No, sure. Look, we're a fucking independent state. But, you know, as far as he's concerned, that's none of my fucking business. Yeah, and also, there'd be a load of Tories that would go mad, going, "What are you doing, giving away our vaccines?" It just doesn't. It doesn't make any sense, and it's very, very hard for Irish people to watch this unfold. Because look, our governments are brilliant at going abroad and getting companies like Apple and Google PayPal to invest in our country.
Tax breaks.
Like you wouldn't believe. There's a huge case going on with Ireland at the moment about a tax break that we gave to Apple. And the EU is like, that wasn't okay.
We all got free iPads. You've gone a bit quiet, Carl.
Yeah, your mic's a bit fucked up, I think.
Has it gone off?
Are you fiddling with it? Are you fiddling?
I'm not fiddling with anything. I think...
There we go.
There you go. It's back.
I don't know what I did. I didn't change. I didn't touch anything there. I think it's actually my voice. Like,
if you're able to argue hardball to get these companies into your country, including Pfizer, like Pfizer has a factory a mile from my childhood home. Irish people are like, what the, how can you not? Pfizer is based in Ireland.
So what are they doing? Are they making it and then shipping it out?
That might be the Viagra factory, though, eh?
Yeah, well, that actually is the truth. Like, that is the Viagra factory.
Oh my god!
And
big phallic building.
How popular is Viagra booming in Ireland in the last?
What do you think?
Well, you know, I suppose it's not.
This is a country where you couldn't get Playboy until 1994.
Right. Shit. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it is hard to believe some of those facts when, you know, just how backward it is. And just, it goes into you by osmosis, all of that shit. And you're still trying to shake it off a little bit. It's the shame. And some of the shame is, like, I firmly believe that some of this is, they don't want to raise their head above the parapet. They're in the EU line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know, for everyone that argued against Brexit, this is proof for all those people that said, no, we can make our own deals. We can do it on our own. It's the killer.
It's a weird one, isn't it? Because you can't sort of...
And argue with them now.
You can't argue with them. It's actually... It shows there is certain benefits. You know, even if long-term there might be loads of negatives, you can't argue with the fact that this one... You're just there like, okay, you guys, it worked out that time. I'll give you that. And it might, you know, I've voted to stay in the EU for ease. I'm lazy. Yeah. I don't want to fill out a form to go to fucking France. But, you know, I've never understood this sort of the weirdly, like, madly pro-EU. I also totally don't understand anyone that was really anti-EU. But, like, then people that sort of, there'll be people that are eating them up that the EU are being cunts because it sort of undermines their argument that the EU is this sort of lovely, sort of benevolent state when it's ultimately a trading block of capitalist countries.
Yeah. But anyway. I have an uncle who's high up in the European Court of Justice. And I mean, I think it's killing him. It has to be. It's like
brutal.
Yeah, we have a family Zoom call, and he's like, "Yeah, yeah." I mean, that I don't really want to talk about it.
Oh, no.
Kill them. Carl,
what's going on in Europe? Because I've again this my the little pockets of news I keep I've seen now and again. I heard like a lot of Europe's going back into lockdown and shit, isn't it?
Well, like is
Italy has, yeah.
Italy has. Yeah. I heard sort of France maybe, and Germany.
Again, they're not getting the vaccinations done at the same level as the UK.
Shit.
And that's the thing, right? That like they're just not getting those numbers down.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, UK numbers are going through the floor because so many people are vaccinated. Like the last count in my town here, there's 2 cases.
What's the latest from all the sort of anti-vaxxers and all that are saying it's all like this is all a hoax? But what's their take on the fact that since the vaccination thing in the UK is going like the
well,
UK's
it could
on...
be lockdown as well. But there's always
other countries that are in lockdown but not getting the vaccinations. Clearly, their
there's
cases
always
are still
an
high.
Answer with a conspiracy.
There always
though.
Is an answer.
Everything is always within the conspiracy.
Yeah, right, yeah. Okay,
and in
yeah.
the end, the world is flat and the you know reptilians live in Buckingham Palace.
I remember when the vaccine first came out and Jim Jefferies doing a tweet saying, "These fucking entry vexers better stick to their fucking guns now."
Yeah.
And there is a part of me that thinks we need that phone line. The other way you could ring and say, "My neighbor's having 6 people in his back garden."
Yeah.
You should have a phone line for people that talked shit about the vaccine for the past year.
Grass up.
Ring them up. Yeah. Tony in 27 said, he thinks he's already had it, and even then he wouldn't take a vaccine. Great. End of the queue for that.
Yeah.
Just pop him back of the fucking line. And I know I've been doing stand-up about this for ages, that vaccinating old people is a stupid idea, that, you know, not all old people are nice. So we should just cut stop the assumption that they all deserve it.
Yeah.
Just find the nice ones. To vaccinate them, get the other cunts and go, no, you can wait. I still reckon
the number of anti-vax types, you hear a lot of it, but I actually think percentage-wise, I'd say it's a small minority that group, but that a lot of it is contrarians who would be like, no, I'm not putting that in my body, I don't know what's in it. The moment it comes to like June, and somebody says to him, like, if you want to go on holiday to fucking Benidorm, mate, you've got to get your vaccine. They'll be running down the clinic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't give a shit, mate. If you're a contrarian who's just sort of likes just chatting shit, hey, you're not that tied to the opinion, I don't think.
100%. And also, this is the thing, they'll do it real sneaky.
Oh, totally. There'll be loads of people online who go on about this shit. It was definitely going to get it. Secretly. Actually, a bit like, everyone's getting it, I might as well.
Like Patrick Keelty on Irish Man Abroad the other week, and he made a great point that, like, you've probably heard this before, but it's that people used to write in toilets, like they used to write on the doors.
Now it's Twitter.
He said, and everyone's got he said, if you went into a toilet, you could judge people's opinions based on their spelling, their penmanship. The substance that they'd use to write it.
Yeah.
But everyone's got the same font and everyone's got spell check, so you don't know.
Everyone
seems pretty legit. But it is the toilet.
It's just fucking, it's madness.
Are you on? Are you still on there? You're both still on there?
Yeah.
On the toilet, my phone number.
Loving it.
loads of burner accounts on Twitter that he does his anti-vax stuff in. Got those numbers after his name.
And a few people that left Twitter actually, just because it was just too much.
Julian, do you remember we did those? We nearly did those Christmas gigs.
Yeah,
Carl,
we did one, didn't we?
We did. We were staying at like a travel lodge on the side of a motorway, fucking middle of nowhere. I don't know. I actually tried to blank it out of my memory. Do you ever do that with gigs? Where you take it and you put it in the trash and you try not to let it imprint on the main hard drive.
Yeah.
Just let that gig disappear. I don't know where it was. I don't want to remember where it was, but we went into, we had to drive like, what was it? 8 miles to get to the show from the hotel.
Fucking hell.
And we get there and it is a nightclub, and Carl, It was colder than a meat freezer.
Oh, God.
It was cold there, yeah.
It was a cavernous nightclub. 50-foot ceilings, dance floor, freezing. Everyone in coats, hats, and
scarves. People went into the toilet to warm their hands up on the dryer.
That's true. Oh. That is true.
They were nice people, though. The staff, everyone was really nice, weren't they? And the booker's a lovely guy. And like,
I hate when they're nice.
Yeah.
Just to cover up for how shit
quite,
the gig
it was
is.
Quite weirdly fun stuff like that, though.
But were the gigs, were the audience, despite being freezing, were they?
They were good, actually. Fine,
yeah. But like,
there wasn't many, and
was
they were
annoying. Was the next night, so it was a 2-night booking. Oh, the next God. Night, we had to stay in the hotel for the whole fucking day, knowing full well they're going to pull the second night.
Right.
So Julian and I had to stay at the hotel, this manky Alan Partridge hotel. We get down to the venue at 7:30. They pull the gig and we have to drive home. Oh. Like, I mean, that's the stuff where I'm like, I don't miss the road. I don't miss it at all.
I don't.
Mike's gone again, Carl.
Oh, fucking hell. What's happening here?
You're fiddling with it again.
These aren't anything to do with it. It's just headphones. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening. I need to, it might be my USB cables being funny. I don't miss the, yeah, those sorts of, when you do them little periods where it's like one night you're in Norwich, one night you're in Cardiff, you know, you just do them weird little.
And you only book hotels, different ones for each night. I sometimes do that. And then you're out in a sort of bit of a bleak town from midday.
Oh, no.
Yeah, just doing loops of just fucking shops, you know what I mean? There's only so many times you can look around H&M sale and you're like, fuck, you know. We should wrap it up. Oh, we've just seen the time, man. Mate.
Great chat.
It's flown by. Obviously, people can access your podcast, which is now fully on Patreon, isn't it?
Yeah, everything is there. And there's exclusive. There's 3 episodes a week. 2 are exclusive to the patrons. And then the main show, we put out 30 minutes of it.
Oh, cool. That's good.
The plebs on iTunes.
Plebs. and people can watch this. What's your special called?
Notions 11.
You're good at a pun.
Namos. that's on the RTE player, and that's fully just a year ago filmed just before lockdown.
Where was it filmed?
I would love it in Vicar Street.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, I would love people to watch that. But you know Vicar Street. It's such a great room.
I've never played it. But I know it well. That'd be great. So people can find it on the RTE player. Do we need to do any admin, Julian? Just tell people so they can see extra stuff on our Patreon.
Videos, all videos, episodes,
just general chit chat
previews. We'll do a get together soon as well. We'll get loads of patrons on soon.
Next week, Easter weekend, really, I reckon it'd be nice.
Really fun, isn't it?
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, let me live a tiny little more plug if people are interested, right? So I don't know what your opinions are on Zoom comedy shows, right?
I like them, mate. I'm all for them.
Right, well, we'll have to have both of you on because I do one on a Friday night called Return of the Crack. And this week, our guests are Josh Widdicombe, Justin Moorhouse, Tom Stade, and Deborah Francis White.
It's a bit of a lineup.
Daryl Breen did it last week, and Joe Wilkinson and these people have been on. Like, we've been getting ridiculous lineups, and all of the profits from the show go to frontline charities, and frontline workers get in free. So if you're in retail, you're working frontline in retail, you fucking need a laugh at the end of these weeks, you can get in free to our show, returnofthecrack.com. And it is like, you'll see it when you guys do it. We've bust our ass to make this look and feel like a proper show.
Yeah.
So it's not going to feel like a work phone call.
Yeah. That's what you want to avoid.
A business meeting.
Yeah. This looks and feels great. Sounds great. We've figured out the sound and everything. And shout out to Rob Broderick for helping us with that. He's the tech guy.
Cool. All right, people can check that out. But that's it, man. Thanks for coming on and having a chat.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining.
And we'll see you soon. Listeners, thanks for tuning in. That's it. End of the episode.
Bye. Have a great week.
I'm a right brother.